from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who's not sure if he's the garden or the water or the loamy soil. Probably something like, like loamy in a comfortable way, which I'm not sure if you could, you say, well, I don't prefer like a soil. But here, you know, a soil that doesn't soil. What am I talking about? Where is this coming from? Well, this comes from Bedtime Podcast, Your Toils. And, sometimes rhyming words is my foil, especially trying to make sense of soil, whatever. Sometimes metaphors are my foil, because you know what? It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me, so if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? How much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. Hey, everybody. Night Vale Presents has got an amazing new podcast called Dream Boy. It's a mysterious fictional love story that feels like an audio version of a Spielberg movie. Someone's changing all the streetlights in Pepper Heights, Cleveland, and the color of night is changing. We get to spend some time with Dane, who's trying to keep his job at the Pepperite Zoo, but he's swept into a story about dreams, flickering lights, change in those hidden parts of ourselves we wish other people could discover. There's trouble with a zebra. There's also this unbelievable sequence at a grocery store at night. The show starts October 23rd, and do yourself a favor, in any podcast app, including the one you're listening in right now, just search Dream Boy and subscribe, and you'll be ready to go. It's one word, Dream Boy, or you could go to dreamboypodcast.com to find out more. Thanks. Mr. Bart, a lot of people work very hard to keep this podcast going. Can you give us a rundown?
Chris Posty poster some. Sounds like an earful. Rope. W the legend
also edits episodes.
so cute. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. A runner, runner, runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the mystery bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Fail Presents. So now on with
thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you subscribe to the show, and you could share about the podcast right out of your podcast app. On Twitter, on Facebook, Spotify, I'll let you share right to your Instagram stories. Thank you so much for spreading the word. A huge, huge way to help the show. Word of mouth or word of phone or whatever. And let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights and press play, and I'll do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, you know, things you're thinking about, emotions you're experiencing, physical things you're feeling. It could be changes in time, temperature, schedule, whatever's keeping you awake. I'd like to help. And what I'm going to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. I think I said that. Sometimes I'll use it. The way I'm going to do it is I'm going to send my voice across the deep dark night. I'm going to use circular logic of a repetitive nature. Circular. Usually I prefer ovular or, you know, ellipses. Once I know what an ellipses is, oh boy, you better be ready, because I'll be like an elliptical trainer without the exercise, you know, for bedtime. Maybe I could do that. What if I started recording the podcast through a conch shell, or not, you know, one of those other shells that are already branded? We'll say our shells are branded, Scoots. Okay, what about a horn that, like a shell that looks like a ram's horn? Because, you know, I don't want to use a ram's horn unless it's like a reclaimed one. They say, well, that ram left it behind when the ram went to the big, you know, the ram was already on its way to the, they say, okay, well, this is a bedtime podcast. I don't know who's become mixing up my metaphors right now. I think we should probably stick to exercise equipment, shell related exercise equipment. Like elliptical is actually a word, Scoots. Sorry. So I'm going to send my voice across the deep dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, apologies. I'm going to basically be here to keep you company as you fall asleep. If you're new, expect some tangents. You've already heard a few. Expect some that don't make a whole lot of sense. What I'm going to try to do is keep you company as you drift off. Structurally, what to expect. The show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep it free and going. So it starts off with a few minutes of business. And there's an intro. We're probably like 4 minutes in the intro. Intros are usually around 12 minutes. And in reality, it's kind of a show within a show. It's kind of part of the podcast where I go off. I try to explain what the podcast is efficiently. And then I'm unable to do so because of I don't know what it's like. It's just like what the podcast is. I discovered, actually, I was listening to some old episodes, and it took a while to develop this 12 to 14 to 17 to 16 to 11 to 10 to 18 minute intro. For a while, it was a bit of a bada bing, bada boom. Here we go. Sleep stuff's coming. But slowly I learned that some listeners they like to fall asleep to something kind of familiar but different every time. Intro, something that's pretty nonsensical. But a lot of listeners, it's part of their wind down routine. You say old Scoots is going to start off explaining the podcast and go off on a tangent and get a little losty-poo. Is he still thinks about, what was he saying? Was he the elliptical trainer of podcasts? Definitely not the stair climber. You say, what piece of equipment in a gym is most like it? I say, well, which piece of equipment has the most hot air? I'd say the sauna, steam room. Not only are those relaxing, but they're full of hot air, which is what this podcast is. You see, has there ever been, you know, in the history of the world, like back when they had like these amusements were a little bit different, a laughing steam room, because that would be the sauna that giggled. Okay, put that down as another book title for me. And would say, no, the sauna's giggling about, not about you. Of course not. The sauna's giggling with you. Though, here's the thing, and this will be, maybe this makes some people giggle. Saunas deal with a lot of butts. They've seen, so I guess a sauna would be like, you got to laugh. People are sitting on me all day long. And you know, I'm here I don't know. Shouldn't you get back to explaining what the podcast is, Scoots? You're right, Sauna Steve. You're right, Sauna Sandra. I'll be right back. Not sure what. I guess we already figured it out. Yeah, what exercise equipment has tangents? Usually, someone would be going on a tangent in one of those rooms. Maybe the hot tub. It does have bubbles. And it could have hot, warm air if someone's, you know, get a little had beans for lunch. So the intro, a lot of listeners listen to it as they wind down. Some people listen to it during the day. But it's a show within a show. Some people skip it, but that's how the show starts. Then there's some business, and then there's the bedtime story, which tonight we'll be talking about The Good Place. And it won't be spoiler-free, but you say, if you saw the episode four times and you listened to this description, you'd say, first off, Scoots, how many episodes of The Good Place have you watched? And I would say, how many times have I watched episodes of The Good Place? Probably 400 times, maybe. No, I'd say maybe less, 30 or so times 3, 90, maybe 90 times. Okay, and you still don't remember the main characters' names. Well, sometimes I don't. Part of my method. It's a little bit of the secret sauce. Thanks for revealing that. You'd say, Scoots, could you name two of the main characters right now? Would you consider Diana Tremaine a main character? No, that's a fake name for a character. A Chidi. Also, Shirtless Chidi. That may be a different character. That was that was a different part of Chidi's personality. Eleanor, of course. Michael, Tahani, Jason, Janet. Is that everyone? Did I forget someone? Holy goodness. Trevor is not a main character, but the judge. I'm trying to think of other characters' names, but they're escaping me. Almost had it. Oh, Sean. That's the other character. Derek, Mindy. See, I'm pretty good at this, but... So let's you say, well, Scooch just started naming characters. Then he got all the way down to Pillboy, Donkey Doug, and other. But sometimes I'll say, what's that on the wall of that bar? What does that say? So we'll do that for a little while. And then we have some thank yous at the end. So it's kind of a meandering show. But here's the thing. You don't need to listen to me. This is a podcast you can listen to. Believe me, I'm here to help you take your mind off stuff with a little bit of nonsense and a lot of extra details and just watching my brain jump around and say, hey, brain, what's up next? Do you have any more? Did you think of any shell names that aren't patented yet? No. Okay. Hey, brain, did you double check your database to see if conch shell? Right. Two, did you see if I could do a podcast or through a shell? It wouldn't be bad. Here's the thing. If you hear waves in a shell, would a microphone hear waves in a, you know, that's, isn't that a reasonable question? No. Okay. Get back. Okay. So I'm back. So you don't need to listen to me. I'm going to be here to keep you company. And you can listen at any volume or as long as you need to. And there's also no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here about an hour. And you could listen to probably 300 shows in a row if you needed. So you drift off whenever you want. I'm here to keep you company as you fall asleep. Just like a friend would. It would just sit at your bedside and talk to you. But you don't have to entertain me or clean up after me. Or even be around me. Like, I'm here to service you at a distance. Oh, you don't need to listen to me. No pressure to fall asleep. If you can't sleep, though, I'm going to be here till the very end. Keeps coming up the very end. I got strawberry shortcake on the subconscious somewhere. I don't know where, but somewhere. So not in that place, okay? No. It some other part. Like, I think, like, hopefully with some sort of conscious where say, hey, why don't you, maybe that would be good. Hey, here's an idea for a reboot. Strawberry Shortcake Life Coach. And all she does is say, she just adds berry to stuff, like affirmations. Like she stands at the foot of the person's bed and says, Brad, you're going to have a berry good day. And Brad says, well, I don't know what kind of day I'm going to have. And she says, exactly. So you're going to have a very good day, whatever the day carries. Maybe it'd be funnier if it was Barry. Or maybe that would be the client. That could be like this midway through the season. The client, she says, this just isn't working. When I say Barry's having a very good day. It didn't work. Suddenly I wondered if I really was a life coach. Might work better as a fake autobiography. You're right. My Days as a Life Coach by Strawberry Shortcake. Barry's Barry Good Day. Okay, so I'm going to try to take your mind off stuff. You don't need to listen to me. I'm here to keep you company. And the reason I made the show is because I've been there. I know how it feels. Sometimes it can feel a little bit, it can feel Barry, L-O-N-L-E-Y, or however you spell that word. And I'm here to be your friend, to be a friendly voice, at least, across the deep, dark night. Someone to say, hey, I smoothed it and patted it, rubbed it down, cleaned all the berry crumbles. I said, strawberry shortcake. What are you doing? This isn't even your bed. You can't eat. First of all, you're eating strawberry shortcake. Now, that's a bit strange. No offense, strawberry shortcake. And then she said, it's berry good. And I said, well, just do it in your own bed. Don't eat it in this listener's bed. Because now I got to clean it up, which I did, and I vacuumed it, and I smoothed it, and I patted it, and I rubbed it down. Because you really do deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve dignity and respect. You deserve to be rested. You deserve to breathe in and let your shoulders relax and unwind. I'm here to help. I guess that's basically what I'm saying. It's my honor to do so. Because, as I said, I know how it feels. It doesn't feel very good. No, but no offense, strawberry shortcake. Don't try to cheer me up after 1 a.m. And also, if we're sharing a dorm room or whatever, don't freaking eat your berries so loud. Why do you gotta? Sorry, I didn't mean to bring up these gripes with you right in front of all the listeners. Also, starting a business with strawberry shortcake, a few of them. No, that's patented. Easy Bake Oven's patented. I already told you that. But I said, can you stop, please stop smacking your berries at night or whatever that noise is. Oh, it's in my imagination. Oh, that's our other roommate. Oh, Eeyore's our other roommate. That's great. Okay, I got to get back to the podcasters or the listeners. So I'm here to help. Give the show a few tries if you've never listened before, because it takes a few tries to get used to. It's a little bit different. But I really appreciate you giving it a shot. And I work very hard. I strive and I yearn to help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody, we're talking about season 3, episode 7, A Fractured Inheritance of a Good Place. And it starts off with Tarantella Springs, Nevada, the famous dance. And we see a 3-car garage, which made me say, holy McMansion. And it's Michael and Eleanor. They're parked outside of Eleanor's mother's current house. Just looking at the scene where they're talking, it looks like there's 2 phones on the windshield. They may have wireless charging on their windshield. And it makes sense that they would, you know, need to get, Soul Squad needs to give in communication. Michael's still in a business casual outfit, blue tie, possibly a gray coat made of linen. Eleanor's in a turtleneck, and a really nice one, very pretty colors. I really like the colors of purple, sherbet kind of orange and purple and pink, and a little bit of earth tones in there too. She has a jean jacket on. It's chapter 33 at the open. Also, pop culture references of Rascal Flatts, toe rings, and Gene Simmons. What does this say? 30 good 200 poo. Darmtha Moore. I'm pretty sure this says Diana Tremaine. Maybe this is episode 30. I think I probably just said what, because it just went by on the screen. I think maybe it is chapter 30. If a good place is, man, my handwriting. But I know Eleanor's mom's going by the name Diana Tremaine. Help you, mom, man, this isn't about you. Maybe this is, oh, help your mom. This isn't about you. That's what Michael says. He's taking on more and more, at least he reminds me more and more of my therapist. Yeah, which is probably TMI, but maybe, you know, maybe I'll need to get into that, because my therapist kind of does remind me of a pop culture, like a vague pop culture 80s figure. Eleanor says to her mom, how could you do this to me? Then it opens, no, it's chapter 33. TV's way ahead of me. This is the only podcast that takes, you know, longer than the episode. Baby, you found me. Stretch out, Alex Trebek reference, me, oh, McMansion, cloth napkins, there's like acrylic nails, a lot of good things. We meet Dave, who I believe is played by Andy Daly, delightful, delightful Dave, I would say delightful Dave. I think she says my little potato, she says meet my little potato, maybe he says meet my little potato pie Patricia, great alliteration. You see, oh, how do you know one another? Oh, from our how do you know Eleanor? Kappa Zeta Jones. Get that one, Kappa Zeta Jones. I think just signed a deal with a new Netflix, I think. You're just trying to rewind back to the beginning of the episode. Then we see the exterior of your museum with Camilla signs. It's a Budapest. Oh, I said to look up Budapest museums, which I did. This is a museum with a Z. The persistence of conception, I think, is what it says. Tahani, love, cheaty, impressed. Something. I think cheaty's just impressed. They're all in line together. Oh, Tahani doesn't like waiting in line. Chidi's impressed that she has her whole wing named after her. Jason's talking about the art. Tahani's name dropping. Let's see. Janet tells the truth about. Oh, she says you got to make. You got to apologize. And you got to make amends to your sister. Your competitive relationship kept you from the good place. It could be the truth for Camilla also. You know, I didn't think to take notes about Camilla's hair. She wears a chef's hat the whole episode, I think. And now that I'm looking at it, it probably isn't her real hair, but she has these two braids coming out. And her, she pulls it off because she can pull anything off. But they go into like these multiple colors. It's very good. It looks like Camilla's giving out omelets and poetry. She says to a woman, as a frog stares up towards the treetops, so too does something humbly gawk at the purity of a blinding truth. There's napkins. She hands out, she goes, oh, napkins and forks in the back. And then she says, this is a commentary on the world. Familiar something with subservience, concept of something, big farm and pedagogy, or pedagogy. What is this? Oh, subservience, consumption, big farm and pedagogy. And she says, Tahani said, does something, so she says, refuses an omelet. So she says, over, no refunds. I didn't know if they were German or Hungarian. Gentlemen are saying they kind of they're like the Stadler and Waldorf for this episode. And Chidi, it's one of the languages that Chidi's fluent in because they say, how could you, Tahani, diss your sister? And then we're back with Dave and Michael. They're talking about architecture, the Hooters on I-15, how he met Diana Tremaine at the Desert Rash Bar. She's a Spitfire. And then he says, how did you and Eleanor meet? And he says, we lived in the same neighborhood. Oh, but Michael says it in this dramatic way. And he says, what a fun way to say a normal thing. Moondog, purity, you're great. Oh, pleasant, Dave, make good drinks. Let's see if we could uncork what I meant. Dave makes good drinks. They say Dave's margaritas are good. Your mom's doing pretty great, and Eleanor says, oh, please. I was able to get that. Then Janet and Jason, they're kind of on a date, a database-to date, and Jason's joking about the art. She says, geez, you're being silly and effortlessly charming, but he picks out this one piece of art. She says, that's the most valuable piece of art here. Worth $32.9 million. Jason says, what about that? She says, $13.7 million. Then Tahani has a revelation, short world, or something, short world, and I would like to take responsibility. Oh, she says to her sister, I'd like to say, take responsibility for our fraught relationship, for whatever hurt I've caused you. I sincerely apologize. And Camilla continues to test her. She says, thank you, but I do not accept your apology. Is that all then? And then I put it, look up how to apologize. And Tahani crosses arms and walks off. Or maybe Camilla does, but Tahani's floored. Yeah, Camilla walks off. Tahani throws an egg. Impressed, frustrated. Those are the Germans or Hungarians. The eggs on the painting, which they think Camilla did. Then we see Eleanor searching Diana Tremaine's stepdaughter's room. There's a fabric tent. It seems like a pink Nemo doll, but it could have been the color I'm watching it in. Purple lampshade, lots of plush in there. Blue light bulb, desk lamp, white desk, piggy bank with hearts on it. At first I thought it was a dollhouse with paper birds, but it more was like storage. A very cute plush bunny. Yeah, it was storage for plush with two open doors. There was like a flamingo or a horse on a bookshelf. Yeah, out in their backyard, there's a giant orange minimalist horse sculpture. I didn't know if that was for playing. Yeah, Michael calls her Doc McStuffins. I put WTF here because there's a cheap, you know, Dave's supposed to be an architect, but he has a cheap plastic play. I mean, it probably costs a lot of money, but... like a plastic playhouse in his backyard, yellow and blue. Michael talks about the architect's code. Then he tries to parent Eleanor. He says, young lady, you will stop this nonsense. And he said, yeah, I was going for a stern dad vibe. Go to the PTA meeting and support your mother. I won't hear another word. Then Tahani and Cheater talk, and he's like, maybe I could talk to your sister, like a third-party mediation with Camilla. And he says, I am Tahani's friend Cheaty, and she's totally name drops, like that she knows about names. She goes, Cheaty is an Igbo word for me that means God exists. And she goes, huh? He goes, well, I don't know the etymology of your name. And then she kind of grabs, like, imaginary strings or badges or spirits off of him. And she says, all of your fears are now mine. And Chidi's stunned. And they put, is Camilla, like, a mashup of John Lennon and Yoko Ono, like, rolled up into one? But Chidi's kind of speechless. He goes, she's amazing. Then Tahani goes into action mode, and she says, I demand you accept my apology. I've become a fully formed adult with empathy and awnings or something. And she says, you know, you got to accept my apology. More Tahani theatrics with zero follow-through. That's what Camilla says. I guess I was the one with the boldness gene and the good eyebrow gene. Then I put, oh, no. So I don't know if that's what somebody says that. Then we're at the MGM Grand Elementary School, Luxury Resort Casino Elementary School. Dave and Michael are cracking architect jokes. Also on the MGM Grand Elementary School sign, it says, always bet on Reed. And Diana Tremaine wins the PTA thingamajig, like whatever, treasurer. And she says, I did it for a pretty great kid. And it's not Eleanor, it's the other kid. And they zoomed Eleanor's face. Then she drops the facts on Dave, calls him a mark. But he's like, I already knew all that. And she goes, well, you don't know my mom. And he's something about a bit of a bad boy, which reminded me of this spot. Yes, a not bad boy. And then Michael says to Eleanor when they're alone, I changed, you changed. Why can't she change? And this is really good, you know. For Eleanor, a tough point. For us as an audience, like a real quality point of emotional investment. Really sweet. I mean, in a sad way. But he says, why can't you accept it? I put holy cow describing the quality of this scene and the acting. And I don't want to take it from you, but she says, you know, I wanted that, Mom. And then I put wow with 3 exclamation points. And then Michael has some emotional honesty because he says, kind of like the great Jean-Luc Picard has taught us. He's like, I don't even know what to say to, you know, I don't have anything to say to you to fix this, you know, which is the truth. I don't know that there is a right thing. Oh, then they have the votes because there's one vote for both the D's and Nuds, which will probably Eleanor cast. Then we're in the laundry room and Eleanor apologizes. Clean laundry detergent, KLE with a something over an N. And she busts her mom. Her mom has a stash of cash in there. Then we're with Chidi and Tahani as they were busted. And Tahani's trying to process things. She goes, geez, this was always, I think Camilla's things on the decline. This is extremely derivative art. And she goes, geez, you know, my parents' standards, mother and father's standards were impossible to please. Then they do an art zoom flashback. 4 hours, you got 4 hours to make a painting based on a moment in French history. The winning painting will hang in our foyer for a party honoring François Mitterrand. And the losing painting will be kindling in our hearth. And they say, okay, begin. Oh, very game show, like the parents. Then there's a reveal of the meaning of the paintings in another scene of depth. It was when Tahani goes up to her sister. She says, I'm going to hug you because I love you. And you feel just as lonely as I do. I'm sorry our parents were wankers. I'm so sorry. And Camilla, like, the only thing is these high points are so high. It'll be interesting the next episode. Like, really, the show's so good, it's putting itself in a tough position, which I guess is always good. This these creative challenges. It makes me excited to see what they're going to come up with next. But she says they were wankers, the biggest wankers on earth. And then the Germans or Hungarians say, oh, how wonderful is Camilla. And there's great music playing, kind of a version of the Good Place theme. What does this say? Oh, new name, same game. Yeah, but there's real concern on Eleanor's face with her mom, and they have a basic off. And Eleanor says, no, Mom, you're basic, and that's okay. She's like, yeah, I was doing restorative yoga. And Eleanor helps her mother. Exactly, these Soul Squad missions this episode. And she says, spend the money on Patricia. What does this say? T-U-R-N-E-L, terminal. Your funnel, you're turned. You've turned into a really good person. And props to whoever taught you. So a shout out to the Soul Squad from Diana Tremaine, a.k.a. Eleanor's mom, whose name I will never remember. Then we see Soul Squad driving. Janet's driving. She's a perfect driver, of course. Chidi is reading blog articles on an iPad. And he says, oh, look at this, Fractured Inheritance by Camilla. It's a review of the show, and Tahani. And it says, Camilla conquers the concept of art, in quotes. Then Tahani incorrectly thinks she has a better title, breaking stuff. Then Michael and Dave are in the talking, and he goes, yeah, you did it. Michael had these architect blueprints for Dave. Dave goes, these are great, but there's no bathrooms. And Michael goes, well, geez, yeah, just, whoops, I use the bathroom just like everyone else. I love to sit on the thing and shoot one out. And then he just goes off, goodbye, good luck. Michael and Melanor are in a car, double happy, both of them happy. But Eleanor still has mixed feelings. She goes, this isn't easy. My feelings are still hurt by my mother and the remnants of, the path that I've walked as an adult. And part of that path was never even telling anyone, even a boyfriend, that I loved them. And Michael says, oh boy. He goes, well, I forgot about your afterlife. When I was talking about your life, I forgot about your afterlife life. So he drops a cheaty bomb on her. And Eleanor says, wait, what? We did what now? And then Michael casts off with, hey, would you want to listen to a podcast? And the episode comes to a close. So, delightful episode. I mean, really, for a situational comedy, there's a lot of, tons of humor in this. But really, I mean, we're talking about this undercurrent of major things subtly woven in with these emotional notes that flavor it so well. So let's do some research on what came up here in this episode. All right, so let me just give you a preview of what I'm going to try to look up. McMansion, Rask of Flans, Artificial Nails, Good Museums in Budapest, Pedagogy, Interstate 15, Apology, Speaky Bank Stack, McStuff, and Yoko, Ebo, with, I believe, a silent G. It's I-G-B-O, language, Foyer, Mitterrand, Hearth, couple word offensive words in the UK, and yoga, restorative yoga. So let's see what we could get through here. We got some time. McMansion. Now, for me, it's if you have three garages, and again, this isn't McMansion aiming. So if you live in a McMansion, that's great. Or if you live in a house with three garages, so holy cow, start a podcast and put a sauna in there. For the love of everything, because that's a dream, right? Is to do that. So for sure, Yeah, but it's like, that's a sign of a mansion, because most people don't have three cars. I mean, maybe you do if you have a kid with a car, and you have two cars and you live in the exurbs or the suburbs, yeah, if you have to commute. Yeah, but that's always been it. But let's see what Wikipedia says. It's a pejorative term for large mass-produced dwelling with low-quality materials. Oh, I didn't realize it was so pejorative. In craftsmanship, a mishmash of symbols and styles, connotations of wealth and taste executed poorly. It's also an example of a McWord. It associates the generic quality of these luxury homes with that of fast food by evoking the restaurant chain. It may have appeared as early as the 1980s in LA Times in 1990, New York Times in 98 it appeared. Let's see, new multi-story home prizes appearance over and size over quality. Built at once in a subdivision or as a dwelling that replaces a smaller house in a neighborhood of smaller houses that too large for its lot. May lack side windows due to proximity to the other houses. But, you know, that's the situation out here the land, you know, you may not have a choice if you're moving into one of these places. You say, well, I'd love a side yard and side windows. You know, but if my neighbor's house is like 2 feet away, let's see, symmetrical structures, clear-cut lots, Palladian windows, multiple chimneys, dormers, pilasters, columns, inside and outside, a master suite with dressing rooms and bath spa, great rooms, breakfast and dining rooms, showplace kitchen, and extra wide and high garages for SUVs, maybe 3,000 square feet, 9 to 10 foot ceilings, two-story portico. Origins, possibly, were in the 80s in California, as the larger home concept was to fill the gap between a suburban tract home and upscale custom homes in gated and communities. Such communities were developed as subdivisions or pre-existing neighborhoods were transformed by building on empty lots or replacing structures. Homes proved popular, particularly in light of new land management laws. Yeah, but efforts to economize, you know, impacted quality. Yeah, so that's a little bit about it. A little bit about McMansions. Nice to say. Who's Rascal Flatts? I've heard of Rascal Flatts before, but I couldn't tell you anything about it. It's American country band, according to Wikipedia, formed in just 1999. Gary, I would have put Rascal Flatts, no joke. I would have said they were from like 68. Gary Lavox, Jay DeMarcus, Joe Don Rooney. Let's see. They recorded on Disney's Lyric Street record. Seven albums, all certified platinum or higher. In order to release, the albums were Rascal Flatts, Melt, Feels Like Today, Me and My Gang, Still Feels Good, Greatest Hits Volume 1, Unstoppable. Then they moved to Big Machine Records, where they released five albums. They've had 25 singles. 14 have gotten to number one on high country songs or country airplay. Longest-lasting number one was a cover of Marcus Hummond's Bless the Broken Road. They met at the Fiddle and Steel Guitar Bar in Nashville. And that's how they met up, I guess. Jamming in Nashville. And, they have a little history starting the aughts. Looks like they performed with Carrie Underwood, Kenny Chesney. Looks like they have, they're part of a holiday thing. Let's see. They worked with people from American Idol. They put out a live album. You know, they've done a lot of touring, I presume. They got in a restaurant business. They worked with Hayden Panterette from Nashville TV show, and it looks like they've helped music education. They have a foundation, worked with Make-A-Wish, Ohio State's Big Wish Gala. And yeah, they've had a lot of success. They were one of the biggest touring albums. They actually have had a lot of success with physical albums and digital and touring. In 2005, they were one of the top draws of the year. Year after year. So they're a really successful band. I don't know their music, but I'm sure there's a lot of fans, and that's great. And you know what else is like a fan is when people fan out their fingers to show off their nails, and sometimes they're artificial nails. And I said, what's the difference between an acrylic nail and something else? Well, some mimic the appearance of fingernails, while others stray for an artistic look. They're an extension, not a replacement. There's tips and forms. Tips are plates glued onto the end of the natural nail, where forms are shaped as sheets with a sticky edge that's wrapped around the tip of the finger. I definitely didn't know this. Atop of these, either acrylic or hard gel or a combination of both can be applied. Oh, so acrylic or gel are the things that go on the top. You know, tips are available in different sizes and shapes. Solid colors like a gel or regular nail polish, graphic designs, and they can be shaped or cut into a variety of things. But this kind of talks about how they make it. Acrylic nails or acrylic gel, which has photo initiators, which prevent its curing until exposed to ultraviolet light. So they're coming up with new techniques with these nails all the time. But historically, according to Wikipedia, even in the Ming Dynasty, the long artificial nails were a status symbol. You know, because if you worked with your hands, it was different. In Greece, upper class women often wore empty pistachio shells over their nails. Egyptian women wore nail extensions made from different things as a sign of status. So that's a little bit about it. Let me see if there's anything else. Musical usage. Musicians who play stringed instruments may wear artificial nails in playing. Don Ross, Doyle Dykes, and James Taylor are known for doing so. So that's a little bit about nails. What about Budapest? What about, this is welovebudapest.com. And I've never been there. I'd love to go. So hopefully one day I'll be there on tour or something. They have 15 major museums and galleries to visit while you're there. This is from 2015, so it may be out of date. There's the Budapest History Castle Museum, Holocaust Memorial Center, the House of Stuff Museum, Hungarian House of Photography, Hungarian Museum of Science and Technology and Transport, Hungarian National Gallery, Hungarian National Museum, Hungarian Natural History Museum, the Kiseli Museum, the Kunsthal, Ludwig Museum, Memento Park, Museum of Applied Arts, Museum of Ethnography, and Museum of Fine Arts. Budapest History Museum has three different sections, Roman antiquities, medieval and the modern age, and local history. And then the center is the Buda Castle, also known as the Castle Museum. And that's where information on Budapest in the modern age has that. The Holocaust Memorial Center offers interactive permanent exhibition that takes visitors through the history, as well as historical accounts, original documents, and objects. A central courtyard for reflection, and 8-meter-high black glass wall bearing names and memorial. Library, bookshop, Abram Information Center. So you can find that. There's a House of Something Museum, which is like a kind of political history. Then there's a Hungarian House of Photography, and this is in the Mai Mano House. It has international, historical, and contemporary photo exhibitions. Museum of Science, Technology, and Transport, steam trains and planes, real size locomotives and wagons, a lot of cool stuff. The National Gallery is the largest. This might have been where Tahani Singh was. The building looks a little different, but it's in Buda Castle. Largest collection of fine arts in Hungary, late Renaissance, Baroque, Gothic, 19th century. So, and then there's the Hungarian National Museum. This is where it looks like Tahani's exhibition may have been, if they did it. I don't think they shot it in Budapest, but this building looks, it's the largest museum in Hungary, Hungarian culture and history, and a realistic, oh, this is a history museum, though, a realistic picture of Hungarian history and all its grief and joy. Very important to visit. Then there's the Natural History Museum, which was once a military academy. You could learn about the natural environment, geology, dinosaurs, minerals, rocks, and gems. The KISCELLI Museum, Kiseli Museum, modern age history, fine art, and once was a Baroque monastery and church. Antique furniture, trade signs, blueprints, silverware, contemporary photos, trying to feature contemporary Hungarian artists. Then KUNSTHALLE, so Kunsthal, maybe, is at Hero Square, contemporary visual arts. It's a neo-Renaissance building from 1896 to promote Hungarian and international visual arts trends. This would be where it would be, though, because it has five major exhibitions each year showcasing renowned Hungarian and foreign contemporary artists. Ludwig Museum is in the Palace of Arts. Permanent collection has American pop art, strong focus on Eastern and Central European art, Hungarian art, as well as the Hungarian masters. Memento Park gives you a glimpse back behind the Iron Curtain. It's a bit further out from the city, but it has a lot of monuments. Stunning historical collection that were removed from the streets in 1989-1990. Museum of Applied Arts is a great example of Hungarian Art Nouveau architecture, so sign me up. It has a permanent exhibit of Hungarian craftsmanship and artwork, design events, temporary modern exhibitions. And it does need to be reconstructed. It says Museum of Ethnography is a national museum across from the Hungarian Parliament. And its permanent exhibition is titled Traditional Culture of the Hungarians. So it looks specifically at the culture, traditions, and life of the Hungarians from the 18th century to WW1. Museum of Fine Arts. This is also another place where it could have been, Tahani could have been going. Let's see, we got the Museum of Fine Arts. Eclectic neoclassical style near Hero Square. International works of art from all periods of European art. Six major collections, Egyptian, classical, antiquities, sculpture, old master, Department of Art after 1800, and prints and drawings. So those are a couple of good reasons to love Budapest. What about pedagogy or pedagogy? It is most commonly, according to Wikipedia, understood as approach to teaching, refers more broadly to theory and practice of education and how this influences the growth of learners. It's the study of how knowledge and skills are exchanged in an educational context and considers the interactions that are taking place during learning. So just a word, and there's a famous book, you know, that you may have read, which I think is probably being looked at in a new way now. But this is a really extensive Wikipedia article if you're more interested in getting a deeper dive into pedagogy or pedagogy or the correct pronunciation of it. What about Interstate 15, I-15? I know I-5. But I don't know, I-15. It's a major interstate highway in the western U.S. It begins in the border at San Diego County and stretches all the way to Alberta, Canada. It passes through California, Nevada, Arizona, Utah, and Idaho, and Montana. It serves the cities of San Diego, Las Vegas, St. George, Salt Lake City, Pocatello, Idaho Falls, and Butte. And it passes close to Orange County, L.A., Provo, Utah, Ogden, Utah, and Helena, Montana. It's known as the Veterans Memorial Highway. It sounds like it's really got a lot of beautiful major junctions, include I-8 in San Diego, I-10 in Ontario, I-40 in Barstow, I-515 in Las Vegas, I-70 in Cove, Fort Utah, I-80 in Salt Lake. So that's where I would see it. I-84, Riverdale and Tremont in Utah. I-86 in Chubbuck, Idaho, and I-90 near Butte. It was built to connect the Inland Empire with San Diego and California, facilitate tourism access to Las Vegas, and provide access to Arizona Strip, and interconnect all of the metropolitan statistical areas in Utah, except for Logan. Provide freeway bypasses for Pocatello, Idaho Falls, and Great Falls. Since its creation, is also a long-haul route for North American commerce. So, just a little bit. That sounds like it could be a nice drive. What about apologies? I found two separate articles about apologies that kind of maybe broaden my idea of it. This one is from Psychology Today. It's by Michael Carson, Feeling Our Way, July 14th, 2016. You know, it's talking about how, you know, apologies are how to say you're sorry, you know. And that's some people say, I'm sorry is typically negatively enforced by parents who stop threatening punishment when a child emits a behavior. Parents eventually discriminate between sincere apologies and insincere ones. But once the child learns how to, the tone and timing, it's hard to tell when they're actually being honest about being sorry. So what does this say about the four parts? Part one for this one is damage assessment. Real apology involves an inventory. It's not I was late. It was also I led you to believe you'd have to have something to do while you waited for me. So it's taking a look at the real results of, like, what are you really apologizing for, I guess. So I guess that would be done ahead of time. And that's powerful because I always thought it was, I'm sorry that I did this. How can I fix it? And what have I learned? Maybe I always forget the fourth one, but I was wrong. I'm sorry that it did this. How can I make amends? This says part two is identifying what you did wrong. What you did wrong. I should have called. I should have left earlier. Only when you genuinely did nothing wrong is it okay to say, I'm sorry you had to wait, or I'm so sorry I disrupted the meeting. Sometimes you should have had a backup plan anyway. Three, what you did wrong. Identify what you did. This is true for the same reasons that a good treatment plan in therapy requires a case formulation. It explains the patient's problem and it links to ways therapy can help. The next step, what will be different, will be convincing only the fact that it is tied to the reasons you misbehaved. The more superficial and generic the explanation, the less effective the apology will be. So this example, sometimes I resent how important you've become to be, which I know isn't fair to you, but I think I ended up that I wanted to prove something, prove that I'm important to you as well, and I unconsciously arranged for a situation that proved you would have to wait for me. It goes on. That's interesting. And then four, what's different now? The relationship is not ready to move on until you've made some changes, which address some of the reasons for your mistake in the first place. So that's interesting. And then this one, that was from Psychology Today. This is from Berkeley.edu. GGIA, Greater Good in Action, Science-Based Practices for a Meaningful Life. This might not work on mobile. Oh, yeah, here it is. How to apologize. Acknowledge what happened. That's the essential element of a good apology, but many apologies don't do this adequately. Apologies are most likely to be well received if you show you recognize who was responsible, what happened, and the nature of the thing. For example, I made a mistake is more effective than saying mistakes were made, which fails to allocate responsibility. To provide an explanation. This one seems tricky, so maybe mashing the two up. In some cases, it's helpful to explain what happened, especially to convey if it was not intentional and that it will not happen again. But explanations that sound like excuses or blame are counterproductive. It's better to say there's no excuse than offer a shallow defense. Express remorse. Say it's natural to have a lot of feelings around this. Have to convey that you're taking full ownership, which Tahani did in this episode. And Eleanor took a lot of ownership of her feelings, too, acknowledging disappointment in yourself and your commitment to improve and make amends. A good apology should include efforts to repair what happened, reparation for tangible things or less tangible things, takes steps to improve your behavior. So that's a little bit about it. What about piggy banks? That was another thing that came up. Also known as a penny bank or money box is a traditional name of a coin container used by children. They are known as collectors as still banks versus mechanical banks. The name of the piggy bank came from its recognizable piggy shape, and many financial companies use it. It's usually made from ceramic or porcelain, painted to serve as a pedagogical device to teach the rudiments of thrift and savings. Some have a rubber or vinyl plug that's removable or a nose. Some have electronic systems. Yeah, it comes from pig, P-Y-G-G, an orange-colored clay common used in the Middle Ages as a cheap material for pots to store money, pig pots or pig jars. There is a dispute where the word P-Y-G-G came from, if it's from the word P-I-G. Pig jar had evolved by the 18th century into pig bank. So there you go. That was the main thing I wanted to find out. Who's this Doc McStuffins? I was familiar with her from... I don't think I've ever seen the show, but I saw like a live performance from Doc McStuffins. There's Doc McStuffins Toy Hospital and Doc McStuffins Pet Rescue. It's an American-Irish animated children's television series by Brown Bag Films. Chris Nee is the executive producer. It premiered on the Disney Channel and Disney Junior. And it's about Doc McStuffins, who fixes toys with help from her toy friends. There's 4 seasons of Toy Hospital, 5 seasons of Pet Rescue. Series has received positive reviews. Chris Nee described the series as cheers for preschoolers. The premise chronicles a 6-year-old Dottie Dot McStuffins who decides she wants to become a doctor like her mother, a pediatrician. Takes place in Harrisburg, PA. And she fixes toys and dolls. In the UK, the show was dubbed with British voice actors. She activates her magic telescope, and she can do a variety of supernatural effects, including traveling through time, which causes toys, dolls, and stuffed animals to come to life and talk and interact, like Stuffy the Dragon or Filbert McStuffins, Haley the Hippo, Lambie the Lamb, Chili the Snowman. It sounds like I should hang. This might be, I wonder, I mean, well, maybe, I don't know, would Doc McStuffins hang out with me when she grows? She's probably grown up. That's 11 seasons. Probably two, yeah. But I mean, maybe like, but Doc McStuffins sounds like she could take over the podcast for me when I'm ready to retire. I think that would be a perfect fit. It looks like another season's coming out, maybe, the second show, McStuffinsville Hospital, Doc's Grandma. So it sounds like an interesting show. I've never seen it, but maybe it's been in the background or something. Okay, it looks like we have time for one more. We'll talk about Yoko Ono. Yeah, because it just reminded me, Camilla reminds me of Yoko Ono. A little bit different, but Yoko's a Japanese multimedia artist, a singer-songwriter, peace activist, Inotsi charismatic person, performance art, filmmaking. She performs in English and Japanese, and she was the second wife of John Lennon. Grew up in Tokyo, New York City. Let's get to, like, artwork. She's often associated with the Fluxus Group, which was founded by her friend Georgia McCunis in the 1960s. She had her first show in 1961 at the AG Gallery. Yeah, joined the Fluxus Group, but was invited, but stayed independent. Worked with John Cage, Duchamp, a ton of other amazing people here. Neo-Dadaism. Yeah, she worked with a ton of other amazing people through the New School. Really, this is, I don't know if this was a archetype for, to think about Yoko Ono, she is an archetype, though. That's a huge impact she's had and continues to have. If you look through this, continuing to do, like, exhibition year after year, and probably retrospectives, musical career. So, check out a little bit, dig a little deeper into Yoko and say, what do Yoko and Camilla have any similarities? And what are their differences? So that's it, and good night. I want to say thanks, good night to Daniel, Hector, and Caroline. Thanks, and good night. Veronica, Brandon, and Justin. Thanks, and good night. Clive, Rosie, and Blaze, thanks, and good night. Chloe, Jennifer, and Tina, thanks, and good night. Aaron, Christy, and Keith, thanks, and good night. Viv, Jeremy, and Kevin, thanks, and good night. Forrest, Michael, and Grant, thanks, and good night. Alexis, Timothy, and Marie, thanks, and good night. Murasaki, Megan, and Hills, thanks, and good night. David, Victoria, and Frankie, thanks, and good night. Vicky, Ann, and Stacy, thanks, and good night. Amanda, Zoe, and Jen, thanks, and good night. Brendan, Tara, and Catherine, thanks, and good night. Ann, Sauer, and Jay, thanks, and good night. Deborah, Hannah, and Anthony, thanks, and good night. Oweno, Hannah, and Kate, thanks, and good night. Sylvia, Wes, and Ben, thanks, and good night. Nicholas, Katrina, and Joe, thanks, and good night. Samuel, Abby, and Jessica, thanks, and good night. Hannah, Laura, and April, thanks, and good night. Caroline, Nicola, and Lynn, thanks, and good night. Maggie, Kimberly, and Jeannie, thanks, and good night. Joanne C. and Kathleen with a C, thanks, and good night. Toby, Sarah, and KTR, thanks, and good night. Katie, Keith, and Jeff, thanks, and good night. Daniel, Kevin, and Misty, thanks, and good night. Amy, Christy, and Gregory, thanks, and good night. And thanks, and good night to Sarah Jane. Thanks for your support, everybody. Sleep with Me is a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You can check out all of their amazing shows at nightvalepresents.com, including the newest ones, Season 2 of Within the Wires, A Dream Boy, and Adventures in New America, nightvalepresents.com. We're also a member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing at PRX.org. And Sleep With Me exists and stays free from direct listener support of either the sponsors or the show on Patreon. Show grows from direct listener support by word of mouth. So thank you so much for your help. And, you know, I help you back here. Let me tuck you one. Let me push that, tuck that in there. Oh, breathe that out. You want me to open the window or close it a little bit? Okay, there you go. What about this fan? How's it? How do you? How, okay, got it. And yeah, cue up another episode if you need it. I'm here. Good night. All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month? And what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is a bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So yeah, like that's something we're looking forward to doing. And yeah, that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, or and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But yeah, like this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback, at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support, support at supercast.com. And good night.